Have you guys looked in your bulletins yet at the outline? I did something this week that you're not supposed to do as a pastor. I've got 12 points. But it's talking about farming, and I'm a farmer, you know. 12 points. You're not ever supposed to do that. But I see my cousin. My cousin is here. She grew up on a farm right down the street from me. And so we're going to talk about farming, but we're going to go through those 12 points fast, okay? And I talked about it last week. We talked about three analogies that are used in the Bible that refer to courageous faith. And the last one we talked about was a farmer, and I didn't think we gave him enough time. You know, being a farmer, we have to give him a little bit more time. So that's what we're going to talk about today. You can learn a lot about living by faith. And we talked about it last week. By looking at three kinds of people. By looking at athletes. By looking at soldiers. And also looking at farmers. And we covered that in pretty good detail. But I told you I wanted to come back to this farmer metaphor. Because the Bible compares the Christian life to farming over and over and over again. And I appreciate that because I understand farm talk. And so I can understand that. So on your outline, in Genesis 8:22, the Bible says, as long as the earth endures, there will be seed time and a harvest. And what I want to look at today, there's laws, universal laws that are created by God, and they're the laws of harvest. And whether you're a farmer or not, they apply to us. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. In Galatians 6:7, it says this, don't be misled. No one makes a fool of God. Whatever a person plants, he might harvest. It doesn't say he might. Just checking, you guys. It says he will harvest. Whatever a person plants, God says you can count on it, he will harvest. And so today, what I want to teach you is the courageousness to plant in faith. And specifically, I want to teach you God's laws of the harvest, God's laws of planting and harvesting. Or in the olden days when I was a child, okay, it was called the laws of sowing and reaping. Most people today, if you say the word sowing today, they think of like a needle and thread. They're thinking of S-E-W, so not S-O-W, so. But when you talk about sowing and reaping, when they talk about it in the Bible, the old style, before there was farm machinery, people had to sow seed by hand. And it was literally called broadcasting. It was broad, you know, casting of the seed. And you carried a bunch of seed in a sack, and as you walked through, you would broadcast it. You would throw the seed out, which is, by the way, where we get the term broadcasting for television and radio and things like that, because you're sowing seeds on a wide distance. It's not just planting one little seed at a time. You're broadcasting it or you're sowing it. If you ignore the laws of sowing and reaping in your life, it's going to hurt you. It will harm you. If you wisely use the laws of sowing and reaping in your life, your life is going to be blessed by it. And you can use the laws I'm about to teach you literally in every single part of your life. Daring, being courageous enough to plant in faith. You can use the laws of sowing and reaping in relationships. You can use the laws of in your health, what you sow, you will reap. You can use it in your finances. You can use it in your career, learning how to plant wisely in your career and how to harvest wisely in your career. The point that I want to make before I get into these laws is this. Whatever you need more of in your life, you need to plant more of in faith. If you feel like you need more appreciation, you need to start appreciating other people. You plant those seeds of appreciation. If you feel like you need more talent, you need to start using the little talent you've got, and God will give you more. If you need more time, If you need more money, if you need more energy, whatever you need more of, you need to learn the laws of planting and harvesting or sowing and reaping. You need to plant what you need. So let's go through these laws. We'll try to do it pretty quickly. Don't turn me into the pastor, please, okay, that I have 12 points. Okay, number one, and you can keep up with this in your outlines, everything starts as a seed. That's the first thing. Everything starts, that's the first law of the harvest. Everything starts as a seed. Every idea started as a seed. Every dream started as a dream seed. Every achievement, every nation, America started as an idea, a seed, idea of life and liberty and the pursuit of happiness. This church started many years ago as a seed. Your life started as a seed. When your father's seed was connected with your mother's egg, your life began. Literally, everything that's living on planet Earth came from a seed. If it didn't come from seed, it's not alive. So everything starts as a seed. In Genesis 1, God says this. God said, "Let the land have seed-bearing plants and trees that bear fruit with seed in it according to the varieties." You might special take note of that, according to the varieties. I'm going to come back to that in a little bit. So what are we talking about when we're talking about planting a seed? A seed is anything. You can write this down. A seed is anything valuable that I give away. Anything valuable that I give away is a seed. When you give away praise, there's value to that. When you give away advice, good advice, there's value to that. When you give away your time, there's value to that. When you give away your money, there's value to that. When you give away your experience to help other people, there's value to that. Anytime you give anything, when you give your love away, there's great value to that. A seed is anything that I give away in order to help somebody else. So it all starts as a seed. It could be time, money, appreciation, wisdom, energy, whatever. It all starts as a seed. Let me just ask you, what kind of seeds are you planting in your relationships? Are you planting seeds of trust? Or are you planting seeds of distrust? Are you planting seeds of kindness? Or are you planting seeds of crankiness? And anger and bitterness and meanness. Are you planting seeds that build up, that encourage others, or are you planting seeds that tear down? Here's the harvest law. You reap what you sow. Here's the number two law. Nothing happens until the seed is planted. It must be given away. It won't do any good in a bag. You know, Jesus used this principle to explain why he came to die. In John 12:24, Jesus says this. Jesus said, "Unless a grain of wheat," that's a seed, "unless a grain of wheat is buried in the ground, it cannot reproduce. But if it dies, it will produce much fruit." You know, a year ago, I bought some watermelon seeds, and they never sprouted. I forgot to plant them. I saw them in a cabinet the other day. There they were, in the bag. You know, it's no wonder. They're still in the packet. A seed is worthless when it stays in the bag. Imagine a farmer going to a feed store and buying a big sack of seed for some crop, and he's going to grow, and then he puts it in his barn, and then he's afraid to give it away. He's like, "I'm going to hold on to it. I might not have enough." We would say that's foolish. Seeds are meant to be planted. Seeds are meant to be given away. What I'm teaching you, when I'm teaching you on Sundays, that is planting. And sowing it is an act of faith. It's an act of faith because it's saying, when I plant the seed, I believe that something great is going to happen when I plant this seed. Something great will happen because I'm going to give it away. What I've got, I'm going to keep it. I'm not going to keep it in my bag. I'm going to give it away, and I believe it's going to produce some fruit. Planting seeds is also risky because you can't see what's happening under the dirt once you plant it. You know, most of you know that I'm a farmer at heart, and if I planted a big garden, I can't go out to my garden every day and dig it up and see if the seed's growing. You know, when you plant a seed, it's covered up and it's buried, and you don't know. Is that thing going to sprout or not? You know, is it going to sprout? That's where faith comes in, because you can't see it. What if it doesn't sprout and you're tempted to dig it up to find out what's going on? What if it fails? What if I give my seed away and nothing comes of it? Then I'm up a creek without a paddle. And that's where faith comes in. Jesus said it like this in Mark 4. Jesus said, the kingdom of God is like someone who plants seed in the ground. And notice that this is a parable of the kingdom. The kingdom of God is like someone who plants a seed in the ground night and day. Whether the person is asleep or awake, the seed still grows, but the person does not know how it grows. He can't see it until it sprouts. And that's the element of faith. Here's the third law, universal law. When I have a need, I should plant a seed. That one just happens to rhyme. When I have a need, I should plant a seed. When a farmer looks out on his barren crop, a barren field, he sees no crops in his field. He doesn't gripe. He doesn't complain. He doesn't even pray. He just starts planting. There are some times when you should not pray. There are some times you should just plant instead of pray. The farmer can look at a barren field and go, oh God, please make my corn crop grow. And God says, did you plant any seed? No, but can you really make it grow? God says, did you plant any seed? No. It isn't going to happen. Sometimes you don't pray, you plant. That's the law of sowing and reaping. So he just starts planting, because no sowing, no harvest. The Bible says this in Ecclesiastes 11. Do your planting in the morning and in the evening too. In other words, all the time. You never know whether it will all grow well or whether one planting will do better than the other. Have you ever heard the phrase, don't put all your eggs in one basket? Yeah, that's what investors tell you, right? By the way, that idea is from the Bible. They didn't come up with that. It's from Ecclesiastes. But here's another example. He says, when you sow in a bunch of different areas, do your planting all the time. You should be planting good seeds all the time with your life, because you never know where it's going to grow. Let me just be real honest. Some of you think you're waiting on God, and you're not. He's waiting on you. Some of you think you're waiting on God for a job or for a miracle or a spouse or something you want. God is waiting on you. He's waiting on you to start planting seeds. When I have a need, I plant a seed. If you don't make a deposit, there's no return. So whatever I need more of, I need to give it away. If I need more energy, I use energy at the gym to get more energy. If I need more talent, I give away what I've got. And I get more talent by using what little I have. Time, money, anything. Whatever I need more of, I give it away. When I have a need, I plant a seed. Okay, here's the number four thing. Number four universal law. Whatever I plant is what I will reap. That's the law of reproduction. Whatever I plant is what I will reap. If a farmer plants a field of beans, what crop should he expect to reap? Beans, not watermelon, you know. No, if I plant corn in the ground, do you think I'm going to expect zucchini? No, you're going to get in life whatever you plant. This is an irrevocable rule of the universe. It'll either work for you or against you. He doesn't wonder about what's going to grow. The farmer doesn't doubt what's going to grow. If I plant corn, I'm going to get corn, because whatever I plant is what I'm going to reap. Galatians 6:7 says, you will reap exactly what you plant. You will reap what you sow. Can you say that with me? You will reap what you sow. That's a phrase in Genesis over and over and over that's used. It's a phrase after its own kind in Genesis that we read earlier. That phrase is talking about here. We always reap the same thing that we sow. Again, this works both ways. It can either work for you or it can work against you. Whatever I dish out is what I'm going to get back in life. And the Bible talks about it a lot. Let me just show you a few verses. Here's some of the negative examples. Job 4:8. People who plant trouble harvest it. Or look at the next one, Proverbs 22:8. Whoever sows sin reaps weeds. I like the New Living Translation. It says, those who plant seeds of injustice will harvest disaster. Or Hosea 10:13, you planted wickedness and now you reap evil. Or Matthew 7:2, whatever measure you use to judge others will be used to measure how you are judged. Uh-oh. What you sow, you're going to reap. Now let me show you some positive examples in Scripture. Proverbs 11:18, the one who sows righteousness will reap a sure reward. Or Hosea 10:12, plant good seeds of righteousness and you'll harvest a crop of my love. Or James 3:18, peacemakers plant seeds of peace and reap a harvest of goodness. You're getting the idea that it's not some minor message in the Bible. The laws of the harvest, you reap what you sow with your children. You reap what you sow with your wife, with your business. It'll either work for you or it can work against you. You sow anger, that's what you're going to get. Angry kids. You sow patience, that's what you're going to get. Patient kids. You will reap what you sow, and you get exactly what you put out. I cannot sow irresponsibly and reap success. I cannot sow laziness and reap reward. I cannot sow stinginess and reap a blessing. The Bible is full of examples of this. Both negative and positive. Here's one. Jacob, his name meant supplanter. It meant he was going to cheat people. And Jacob cheated his brother and cheated his dad. So you know what happened? His father-in-law cheated him. He reaped what he sowed. Haman was a man who reaped bitterness. He built these gallows to kill a guy named Mordecai. He ended up being hung on his own gallows. This happens all the time. Galatians 6, 7 and 8. I like this in the Message paraphrase. It says this. The person who plants selfishness, ignoring the seeds of others, and ignoring God, harvests a crop of weeds. That's all he'll have to show for his life. But, here's the good news. The one who plants in response to God, letting God's Spirit do the growth work in him, harvests a crop of real life, eternal life. You're going to harvest whatever you plant. So everything starts with a seed. Nothing happens until the seed is planted. Whenever I have a need, I plant a seed, and whatever I plant, I'm going to reap. Here's number five. It's a big one. I'm not the only sower. You're not the only sower, the only planter in this universe. Other people are planting all around you. And by the way, you are reaping both good and bad from those who went before you. Some of you grew up, sadly, I'm sorry for this, in families with a history of abuse, maybe a history of alcohol, maybe a history of divorce, and you have to decide the chain breaks now. I cannot control the past, but I'm going to break the chain now. You're harvesting both good and bad from your past because you're not the only person sowing. Everything you do has consequences. And by the way, your life is going to affect future generations. So you need to take it very, very seriously. Maybe you don't have this awesome family legacy. You start it. You start it with you. Start it with your family name. You know, you determine that the future generations of your family name are going to be blessed because you're going to plant seeds of prayer and love and godliness and generosity and faith and all these other things. And the people who come out of your family tree will have a blessing in heritage. You're not the only sower. Jesus said this, John 4:38. I sent you to reap where you didn't plant. Others had already done work before you, and you will gather the harvest. Are you leaving a legacy of generosity or a legacy of stinginess? Are you leaving a legacy of faith or doubt or fear? Here's the sixth universal law. I always reap in a different season than I sow. I always reap in a different season than I sow. Plants take time to grow. There's no such thing as instant maturity. You don't plant today and this afternoon get the fruit. There's always a delay. That's true when you plant anything in life. There's no such thing as instant success. It takes time to gather wisdom. The Bible says this in Ecclesiastes 3. There's a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven. A time to plant, which is now, and a time to harvest. A time to scatter and a time to gather. In other words, there's a time to sow and a time to reap. Fruit ripens gradually. And by the way, it doesn't all ripen at the same time. How many here like fresh tomatoes? Okay. Oh, some of you do. Cool. When I was a boy, I liked the rotten ones because I'd throw them at the cattle. That's a bad thing to do when your cattle are white, because my dad would notice these red splotches on the cattle. Anyway, sidetrack. How many of you know the difference, people that like tomatoes, know the difference between a vine-ripened tomato and a gas tomato? You know what I mean by that? What's the difference? They taste better, right? Yeah, they taste better. You miss the flavor when you get in a hurry. You just need to understand when you plant a seed, you don't get the harvest immediately. There's always a delay. Some things take time, but they're worth it. Here's number 7. Bless you. I must be patient and not give up. Are you waiting on the seed you planted? Don't become impatient. I must be patient and not give up, because you reap in a season that's different than you sowed in. Galatians 6:9 tells us this: let us not get tired of doing what is right, for after a while we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't get discouraged and give up. So we have to be patient. Here's number 8. This is a big one too. I always reap more than I sow. I will always reap more than I sow. Again, this can work for you or against you. It will, because you will always reap more than you sow. This is the law of multiplication. My granddaughter's just starting to learn her multiplication. And of course, right now she's on 1. Papa, what's 1 times 2? Ah, what's 1 times 3? I said, what's 2 times 2? I don't know. In the parable of the soils, Jesus said it this way in Mark 4:8. Some seed fell on good soil. It came up and grew and produced a crop, multiplying. Underline that word, multiplying 30, 60, and even 100 times. Again, this can work for you or it can work against you. It depends on what kind of seed you're planting. If you plant gossip, you're going to get a lot more gossip about you. If you plant criticism, you're going to get a lot of criticism about you. There's an exponential potential in every seed. As that old line, that old cliche says, anybody can count the seeds in an apple, but only God can count the apples in a seed. Because one seed can produce an awful lot of apples. So I always reap more than I sow. Here's number 9. The 9th law is sowing and harvesting. I increase my harvest by planting more seed. I increase my harvest by planting more seed. It's the law of proportion, that we always reap in proportion to what we sow. 2 Corinthians 9, 6 and 7. We actually looked at this verse last week. It says this: remember this. Whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will reap generously. Each one should give what he's decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. What that verse says is this: you get to choose how big the harvest in your life is. You ever thought about that? You get to choose how much God blesses your life. You can't blame anybody else. You get to choose how much God is blessing your life. If you sow sparingly, you will reap sparingly. When you sow generously, you will reap generously. That's the word of God. That's the law of the universe, and it applies in every single area of your life. The law of generosity works for anybody who follows it. It works for non-believers. Just like gravity works for believers and non-believers, it works for everybody. It's just the law of the universe. Proverbs 11:24 says, the world of the generous gets larger and larger. The world of the stingy gets smaller and smaller. Okay, here's the 10th law of the harvest. The more seed I plant, the more God will give me. The more seed I plant, this is amazing. The more seed I plant, the more God will give me. Hello? You know, the more seed I plant, the more I give away, the more God gives to me. God is looking. He's looking for givers to bless. He looks down. He doesn't look for stingy people to bless. He looks for givers to bless. He looks down and he goes, is anybody on earth like me who wants to be generous? Who wants to be unselfish? Who wants to think of others? Is there anybody who trusts me? God's always looking for people to use, and he blesses people who are generous. The Bible says this in 2 Corinthians 9:10. For God, who supplies seed to the farmer and bread to eat, will give you more and more seed to plant and will make it grow so that you can give away more and more fruit from your harvest. That verse is a promise about being generous with money. It's specifically about money, and that's what God says. Here's the 11th law of harvesting. I plant by faith, not by my feelings. I plant by faith, not by my feelings. It's a very important point that we plant by faith, not by our feelings. People aren't generous because they just don't feel like being generous. So they go by their feelings. No, you need to plant by faith and not by feelings. When a farmer gets up in the morning, do you think every farmer expects to feel good about going to work on his farm? No, it's hard. I can remember as a kid, my dad would yell down the stairs. We stayed in the basement. Say, get up. It's time to change sprinklers. And we'd go, yeah, okay. And we'd like get in our covers a little bit more. It's cold out there. And then about 5 minutes later, we could hear my dad's footsteps coming down the stairs. Boom, 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 boom. And we were dressed and ready to march by the time he hit the bottom stair. No, they don't get up because they feel like getting up. If a farmer only worked his crops when he felt like it, not much would get done. He doesn't want to get up early necessarily. He doesn't want to go harvest and plant and weed and do all those things. He does what he doesn't feel like doing. And he's planting when he doesn't feel like doing it. So you don't go by your feelings, you go by your faith. Here's a verse to claim in Psalm 125. You can claim this as a promise. Those who plant in tears will harvest with shouts of joy. They weep as they go plant their seed, but they sing as they return and harvest. You know, our life here on earth isn't always easy. And there's times when we're going through and we're going through a time of tears and of trouble and tragedy, and we just don't feel like getting up and going and planting. And sometimes God's going to call you to make a sacrifice. Maybe it's money, but also time and talent. Maybe your life. And God's going to call you to sacrifice. And you're going to go, I don't really feel like it, God. And you're going to miss the blessing that God wants to do in using you. So I plant by faith, not by feelings. And finally, number 12. Can you believe it? 12 points. We're on the 12th. The best time to plant is now. The best time to plant is now. You don't wait for a better time. The sooner the better. You don't say, when I retire, I'm going to get serious about God. No. You may not have any energy to do anything when you retire. The best time to plant is now. Ecclesiastes 11:4 says, those who wait for perfect weather will never plant seeds, and those who look at every cloud will never reap a harvest. Here's something you remember. Perfection paralyzes potential. Perfection paralyzes potential. One of these days is none of these days. Like, one of these days I'll do that. God will never ask you to do anything by yourself. That's the promise. That's the thing we can hold on to. Never. Never. He will always do it with you. He will always do it with you. God will never ask you to do anything by yourself. Would you bow your heads with me? I'm going to ask you just a couple questions before we pray. And one is, are you going to do anything about this message? You know, if you don't like the kind of life that you are reaping, change the way you're planting. Whatever you're in need of more this morning, you need to give it away. When you have a need in any area, plant a seed. Would you pray this prayer with me? Dear God, thank you for creating the universe on universal laws. You have said that no one makes a fool of you, that whatever a person plants, he will harvest. And Lord, I realize I can use that negatively or positively in my life. So Lord, this morning, help me to practice these 12 laws of the harvest. Help me to plant good seed in abundance in every area of my life. Help me to be patient and realize that I reap in a season different than the one I sow in. But it is inevitable. The fruit will come. You've promised that. Help me to remember that I always reap more than I sow, that I can increase my harvest by planting more seed. And the more seed I plant, the more you will give me. Help me to not live by my feelings, but to live by faith. Help me to realize the best time to plant is right now. Heavenly Father, as each of us face the kind of lives we're going to live, help us to realize that we're leaving a legacy for future generations, that everything we do has an impact on people that we don't even know yet. And just as we've been influenced by good and bad in our past, and that our lives will make it harder or easier for somebody else, I thank you for the people who sacrificed and lived in faith. And I thank you for those who have faith to do so in the future. Lord, I thank you in advance for the answer to all of our prayers. I thank you in advance for the achievement of all the goals that we set in faith. Now, Lord, we want to remember the work on the cross, the ultimate sacrifice, so that we can live with you eternally. Thank you for the bread representing your body, beaten and bruised and hung on a cross, your blood that flowed freely from your side, and the payment for our sins that washes us clean in your sight. This morning we give you honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.